Jesus said, I do what the Father has commanded me so that the world may know that I love the Father.
Mm-hmm.
But when kids are taught that if I don't do exactly what my parents say, they'll be angry, they'll mm-hmm. be scary, they'll punish me,
yep.
they'll threaten me. If that's the message that's received from the kid's side, it actually like inverts what Jesus was trying to convey.
Right, yeah.
Where obedience is meant to be the product of love, but as far as a lot of kids are concerned, love is the product of obedience. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Making History. My name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the Hesses. And we're back.
We are back.
For part two.
Woohoo.
In a little series.
A little series. Little mini series.
Yeah. Before we get into that, we have, well, it's Valentine's Day.
It is Valentine's Day.
While we're recording this.
Yes. So happy belated Valentine's Day. Everybody who's listening.
Yeah. And with Valentine's Day, we have a funny story
yes,
to share
that we always remember on Valentine's Day, or at least
yeah.
I do, because
yeah.
it's just so, it's a funny one.
It is very funny. So this was probably 12 years ago,
mm-hmm.
about
12
years ago.
A little bit before we started dating.
Yeah. This would have been a month before we started dating.
Yeah.
Because we started dating in March.
Right.
And so February, and the timeline for us is very unclear during this whole time.
Right. Like, did we know we liked each other? Was it still a secret? Were we just super flirty at this point? What was going on?
Yeah. Even like, it's hard to remember like exactly what our first date was.
Right.
The whole, it was just like we were friends mm-hmm. and we would hang out, but then it was like,
when did we cross over?
When did we cross that line? When did
into the date
things start becoming dates? It's very unclear to me.
It is. Yep. Also, when I started calling you by Brian, that's another funny story.
Yes. So nobody in college called me Brian.
Nobody.
It was always Hess.
Yeah.
There wasn't a single person. I wouldn't be surprised if I had friends that didn't know my first name. Like nobody
right.
ever called me Brian.
Yeah.
And because we were friends first,
mm-hmm.
you, like everybody else, called me Hess.
Yep. Why and wouldn't I?
Exactly. That's what yeah. everybody called me. And it was, I don't know if we had just been hanging out or if we were actually dating at this point. I think we may have been dating.
I want to say we were like freshly dating.
And I came to the realization that like you didn't really call me anything. And so
there was no name calling at this point for a little while.
Yeah. And I had this thought, like, I just wonder, like, it's like, it was just funny to me. And I did have the thought, like, I wonder if you don't know what to call me because Hess is a little too friendly, a little yeah. too casual.
Yeah.
But Brian feels weird because nobody's ever called
it
me
felt
Brian.
Way too formal.
Yes.
I was like, okay, Brian, might as well call you Mr. Hess.
Yeah.
or something. It yep. was, that was such a hard time for me because I was like, okay, he can't be Hess anymore because that just feels like we're pals.
Right.
But like, if I start calling him Brian, then that's like, we're really in this thing. Like,
that feels very serious.
It felt so serious, which is so funny to think back on because it's like, it's literally just your name.
Yeah.
But
nobody in
college.
I had
never heard you called Brian before.
Nobody had.
Ever.
Yep.
And so I was like, well, maybe by professors. Maybe. But I feel like, did even they call you Hess? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
But it anyways. Just felt very, it was a really trying time for me. I was like, I don't know what to call him,
yep.
but I also like, how do I get his attention? I can't just be like, hey.
Yeah. And I noticed.
Yep.
Anyways, that's actually not even the funny story we were talking about.
Bonus story.
So again, it's February. It's about a month before we actually started dating. I think it was evident that we were both into each other.
Yeah.
And, I know we had a school event coming up
mm-hmm.
in March.
Yeah.
And it was like a formal spring dance.
Yeah.
So it was a dance and it was at the art museum downtown.
Yeah. Which yes, our college still had spring formal dances.
Yes.
Like middle schools.
Yes. And I always hated them and,
but you liked me enough to want
to go. I liked you enough to want to go.
Yeah.
with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did end up asking you to go.
Yep.
And that was actually the first night we kissed.
Yeah.
Another little bonus story.
We remember that one.
I remember that one. Oh, yeah, I remember that one. But I'll let you finish the rest of the story. So I'll give just very briefly.
Set the scene.
When Katie and I became friends, mm-hmm. you were dating somebody else.
Yeah.
And I just kind of had this feeling like maybe that wasn't going to last.
I wonder why.
I just had a feeling maybe if I got to know you and hung around just long enough, I'd be in the right place at the right time. And my plan was flawless. I executed it perfectly.
Like a charm.
I knew exactly what I was doing. And anyways, you broke up with this guy that you were dating.
Uh-huh.
And you were on the market. And yep. that was a really big deal for our small Christian college of like 1,000 students. Everybody knew everybody.
Oh, man.
And so it was a big deal. Like people were talking.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like she's single again.
Which is so ridiculous. It's like we were living in a soap opera for 4 years.
Anyways, Valentine's Day comes.
Here it is.
You and I are in this kind of like flirty friendship, like.
Yep.
You know,
being just out of that relationship at that point, I was like, I'm done. No more dating.
Yes.
No more. This is stupid. Like I was over it.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, Lord, I did the classic. Like, it's just you and me now, God. I'm in this. Sure. If you want me to be a nun, okay. Like, yeah. I'm good with it.
This hasn't been working out.
Yeah. Everybody, which, I mean, it was all me just putting myself in those situations. So that's just besides the point. But yeah, so I literally had that conversation with the Lord. Like, okay, I'm done dating. I'm going to focus on you. This is about me and you now.
Mm-hmm.
And then in you come.
Yep. Here I
enter
am.
Enter Brian. Well, enter Hess at that point.
Yeah.
But anyways, the story. So Valentine's comes and there was this other guy around the same. Well, it was like the year before, I guess, that like we kind of had a thing. We mm-hmm. like sort of dated a little bit, but it was like one of those like he wasn't super into me when I was into him and he wasn't or I wasn't into him when he was into me type
classic.
Thing.
Classic.
And so it was like, you know, whatever. He's just not that into you. Moment. And so I had moved on. I was like, all right, whatever. Like, if you don't want to be with me, that's fine. There's mm-hmm. lots of other fish in the sea. And so I had moved on. But, like, he had still been, like, kind of texting and wanting to hang out and stuff. And I was like, sure, we can be friends. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Valentine's Day comes around. And this guy decides he's going to be Mr. Romantic.
Yep.
And on the day of Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
Go to a floral shop and try to get me a bouquet. And so he goes to this flower shop. And somehow this joker ends up on the news.
So the news, they went there to the flower shop because it was Valentine's Day. And they were interviewing the men who were, and it was
doing
meant
the
to be
like
a funny, like a funny piece.
Why are you shopping on Valentine's Day? Like, how come you haven't prepared for this type thing?
So it was meant to be like a funny thing.
Yeah.
And so he's there being interviewed on the news.
Yep.
Getting flowers for you.
For me.
Who you're not dating.
Yeah. And I didn't want them. Let me just put that out there first. If I wanted flowers for anybody, it would have been you at that point.
Yeah.
And so he comes. Well, this is before I knew he was on the news. So he comes and he like brings me these flowers.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, hey, happy Valentine's Day. He was like, I just wanted to get these for you. Like, I care about you. He did this little spiel and I was like, oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. It was one of those classic, like, I love you. And you're like,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
Moments. He didn't say I love you.
Yeah.
But he said he liked me and I did not at that point. Mm-hmm. And so then he proceeds to tell me, well, I actually, like, funny story, I ended up being interviewed on the news and I was like, I'm sorry, what? I was like, please, in my brain, I was like, please don't, like, please do not have said my name on the news, like, because that's so embarrassing for the 20 people who watch it. And so later, somehow, I don't know, we hung out that day or when it was, yeah. but I told you about it or you heard about it from somebody. I don't know mm-hmm. what, maybe both. And so we go and we find this interview on the news because we were like, we have to see.
We have to find this.
What happened?
Yeah.
And what he said. Oh, man.
It was very funny.
And I think in the interview, do you remember he said, like, I'm getting these for somebody that I'm hoping to date.
It was something like for like a special girl I'm like hoping to date.
I was like, oh, no.
Oh, bud.
I don't know what to do right now. And so I think I did the really powerful communicator thing and just avoided him
for sure.
The rest of college.
For sure. Yeah. That's funny because I was a year ahead of you. So this was my senior year. Yeah. It was the last semester. And I had also just decided, like, because I hadn't really dated anybody mm-hmm. up until that point.
Yeah.
And so I remember going into my last semester thinking, like, well, how dumb would it be to start dating somebody now?
When you're about,
like,
to leave.
Who knows? I'm going to graduate. I may move back to Chicago. Like, mm-hmm. I don't really know what I'm going to do. And then I sat next to you in marketing class. Yep. That was it.
The rest is history.
The rest is history.
History. Yay.
We made history.
So if you've been wondering why the name of our podcast is Making History, now you know.
Now you know.
So get you could probably go find it. I don't know. Look up Chattanooga News Valentine's Day and see if you can find the clip.
2013.
Oh.
Okay. I suppose we should get into our topic. So we are in part two mm-hmm. of what we call the lies we all believe.
Yes.
And as parents, these are some of the lies that I imagine for sure every parent we've ever met has fallen into this trap.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about it. These are not necessarily thoughts or beliefs that are being made on like a conscious, intentional level.
Sure.
It's just the product of, I think, a few other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll talk about that too in a minute. But there are lies we believe that influence the way we parent and the mm-hmm. way we, maybe the tools we use.
Yeah.
The goals we have. And they find their way in there and mm-hmm. they affect all of that stuff. And we end up treating our kids and relating to our kids. And it's not just with kids. It could be with a spouse. We've mentioned this before. This can be true with pretty much any relationship that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought we would shed light on this and maybe help bring some awareness to just the reality that, like, a lot of parents are facing.
Mm-hmm.
There's something on like a subconscious level that I don't actively know that I'm believing, but it's something we may be thinking or believing on a subconscious level. You can always tell what you believe by how you behave
mm-hmm.
because while beliefs maybe aren't like the only thing contributing to how we act, it's a pretty
it's a big one.
It's a big one.
Yeah.
So you can tell what you believe by how you act. And mm-hmm. so if you are acting in such a way that, to go back to the last episode, if you are acting in such a way that you are being controlling towards mm-hmm. a spouse or your kids, then that is an indication that you have, to some degree, learned to believe that it is maybe your job, or even that you are able to control other people.
Right. Yeah.
That's going to lead into what we're talking about today, because if you think that it's your job to control other people, if you think it's your job to control your kids, then one of the tools you're going to use in your effort to achieve that goal is anger.
Yeah.
So lie number two that parents believe so often. And it's so easy. We've all done it.
Oh, yeah. And still do.
And still do, even though we know.
Yeah.
But the lie is that anger is power.
Mm-hmm.
We want to have more power than our kids in the relationship.
Yep.
Because we want to control every outcome.
Right.
We don't want them to make mistakes or bad choices.
Mm-hmm.
And because we want to control the situation, control them and their behavior, we want to be more powerful, and we often end up, again, it's not something we're actively choosing to believe necessarily,
mm-hmm.
but we act in such a way that it seems like we think that the more angry I am, mm-hmm. the more power I have in the relationship.
Right. the louder I am, the more intense, the bigger I make myself look, and the most I can squash you,
the scarier I can be,
the best outcome this will be. Yeah. It may be a temporary outcome that you wanted, like it gets your kid to stop doing it. But then...
So it can, on a short-term basis, like you said, it can produce results.
Yeah.
But it's never actually true that anger is power.
Right.
And it's actually the exact opposite, which mm-hmm. is what makes this really, just really interesting to think about.
Yeah.
Because if I assume that I have more power in my relationship with my kids by being angry, mm-hmm. being scary, then I'm actually revealing that I am the least powerful person
yeah.
in the relationship, because I've given all the power to my kids mm-hmm. because through their behavior, they are able to trigger my anger.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then I won't find myself being able to control my own behavior, mm-hmm. my emotions.
Right.
I can't regulate my emotions.
Yep.
And so if my kids have the power to make me angry by acting a certain way, then if I don't want to act that way, the next best thing, if I can't control myself, is to try to control them.
Yeah. And so much of that is always rooted out of fear or embarrassment. Because like, how often do you hear like, oh, my, like parents say like, oh, my kids were so embarrassing today, or they embarrassed me so much at the store. Mm-hmm. And like that, you know, is reality. There have been plenty of times where the kids have done something that I'm like, well, that wasn't my favorite. But then like anger only comes whenever, like you said, when you feel out of control, when you feel like you aren't getting what you want and you're afraid that you're losing that control. So it's just that like mm-hmm. cycle of like that fear fuels the anger, causing you to react in such a way in order to control your kids or whoever it is around you. And then it's just like, and then when that doesn't work, that fuels even more fear, because it's like, oh no, this isn't working. Mm-hmm. So maybe I just need to get louder. Maybe I need to get scarier. And then it just is like this really dangerous cycle that like mm-hmm. you just keep getting meaner and meaner, and then you keep not seeing good results. And so that leads to just being a mutual feeling of fear mm-hmm. that like as a parent, you're afraid of not being able to control your kids and get them to do what you want them to do. And then your kids are afraid of you because mm-hmm. you've made yourself this big, mean, scary parent.
Yeah.
And so there's not respect there. Mm-hmm. There's only fear.
Yeah.
And it's not a fun place to be.
Yeah. And a lot of this stems from having just improper goals set up.
Yeah.
A lot of times in these dynamics, it's because the parent has decided that their goal with their kids is just to get them to be obedient mm-hmm. or to be compliant.
Yeah.
And we have talked about this before, but if your goal in parenting is compliance, mm-hmm. then you'll feel justified in using whatever tool
yeah.
you can to achieve that goal.
Yep.
And typically that looks like fear, and it looks like anger. Mm-hmm. It looks like control or manipulation.
Yeah.
And like you said before, that can produce results on a short-term basis.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite things I've ever heard anybody say, I've said it 1,000 times, I'm going to say it again. If you can get your kids to do what you want them to do because they're afraid of you, that on the outside may look like obedience, mm-hmm. but it's not actually obedience. It's right. survival.
Yeah.
So if your kids do what you want because they're afraid of you, they are surviving you mm-hmm. and they're not actually obeying you.
Yeah.
Because obedience is actually only the product of love. Mm-hmm. And there's actually a Bible verse for that. I think it's John 14:31. Jesus said, I do what the Father has commanded me so that the world may know that I love the Father. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes in these types of dynamics between parents and kids, where there's anger and there's fear and manipulation and control from the mm-hmm. parent side to try to compel their kids into compliance, the message that's often received on the kid's side is that you'll love me if I obey. Mm. And if I don't obey, then you won't love me.
Yeah.
And that's the exact opposite message that Jesus was conveying. Because mm-hmm. he was saying there is love. And because there's love, there's obedience.
Yeah.
So obedience is actually the product of love. But when kids are taught that if I don't do exactly what my parents say, they'll be angry, they'll mm-hmm. be scary, they'll punish me,
yep.
they'll threaten me. if that's the message that's received from the kid's side, it actually like inverts what Jesus was trying to convey.
Right. Yeah.
Where obedience is meant to be the product of love. But as far as a lot of kids are concerned, love is the product of obedience.
Ooh, that's really good. Yeah. That like when they're obedient, that is how they earn.
Yes.
Love.
Yep.
Rather than I am loved.
Mm-hmm.
And so because I am loved and because I love my parent,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to do these things. This is a product.
Yes.
Not a formula to attain this thing.
Yes. And then obedience, it stops being the goal and it starts becoming just the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to switch your goal.
Yeah.
So obedience better serves us and our relationships with our kids when we let it be not the goal of our relationship with them, but just the product of our relationship with them.
Yes.
The Bible even talks about obedience. Obedience itself is not, it's not inherently bad. I don't think it's wrong to want obedient kids. But I would prefer to have responsible and cooperative kids than compliant kids.
Yes.
Because, again, and we always talk about this, but this is so important, especially for parents with young kids, that eventually they're going to grow up and they're going to become adults.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have young kids, you need to be thinking right now, what type of adults do I want them to become?
Yeah.
And you need to work backwards
mm-hmm.
and ask the question, what can I be doing right now
yes.
that will start helping us work towards that goal? So mm-hmm. that way they're 18, they're 20, they're 25, they're out of the house.
Yeah.
They're married. They have families of their own. Who do I want them to be? What do I want them to have taken from their time with us?
Mm-hmm.
I want to raise kids who are critical thinkers.
Yep.
And I do want them to be cooperative. And yeah. I want them to be able to one day have a job and have a boss and understand that like there is truth to there being value in submission to authority.
Yes. Yeah.
So we want our kids to recognize and value authority
mm-hmm.
starting with us, but eventually like our relationship dynamic with them will change when they're adults.
Right. Yeah.
But they'll have a boss, they'll have, you know, a pastor.
Yep.
And we want them to understand that there is value in submission to authority,
mm-hmm.
that having a level of agreeableness and cooperation
yeah.
is helpful.
Right.
That'll serve you well. Responsibility will, of course, serve you well.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't necessarily want kids who will like blindly or absentmindedly do what anybody asks of them.
No, that can get really scary really fast.
Yeah.
When you don't have a mind of your own and you're just like, mm-hmm. well, I did it because they asked me to.
Right.
It's like, okay, but did you think about all the consequences that are coming from
mm-hmm.
what you just said yes to? And because, I mean, that's the fact of the world, unfortunately, is that there are going to be people who come up that, you know, present opportunities that are going to be things that we would like for them to say no to.
Mm-hmm.
And so teaching them to have that critical thinking skill to value authority at the same time and have those two like in tandem.
Yeah. Hopefully this is being conveyed, but what we're describing in saying that like obedience is not our top priority
mm-hmm.
as parents, we are still like a long way off from like rebellious, defiant.
Yeah.
Because like we're not interested in that either.
No.
You know, we want responsible and cooperative kids.
Mm-hmm.
We want our kids to, especially as they get older, I hope that they will like challenge us
yeah.
when we are asking something of them that doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we have a rule that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not like promoting a rebellious spirit,
yeah.
but I want all of our kids to have, I don't know, the nerve to challenge.
The gumption.
To challenge things that they don't understand.
Right. And it's not wrong to have the desire to ask questions.
Yeah.
Like the amount of times that Nora has been like, well, why do I need to do that?
Mm-hmm.
At first, it was like, you know, you want to just be like, because I told you to do it.
Yeah.
That's why.
How about, you know, I'm your parent right. and you do what I say. Yeah.
And there are for sure still moments of that. It's like, I just need you to do it.
Yeah.
I don't have time for an explanation. Just like, don't yeah. run in front of the car in the road.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of times that she has asked, you know, like if I ask her to do something a certain way or be gentle with something, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is. And she'll be like, well, why? I love that.
Yeah.
I have learned to love that.
Yeah.
I'll say that because at first I really did not. because it can be inconvenient at times when your kid wants to know why and how everything works in your life. But it's such a beautiful thing that I love about her now. And Izzy has kind of started entering in that too of like, well, why do I need to do that right now? Like, I'll just do it later. Or like, can you tell me? And sometimes their reasoning is better than mine.
Sure.
And I say, you know what? Actually, you're right. You can do that later. Or you can do it in this way. And because there are sometimes as a parent where you just want something done your way when you want it. But there's really not a good reason. It's just because you do. Just because you want it that way.
Yeah.
And then there are times that like your kid's going to question. And it's okay to back down and say like, hey, you know what? That's a great thought. Yeah. And like letting them see the value in their thought process and saying like, wow, that was a great thought. You're right. You can do it that way.
Yeah.
Because that empowers like that. Them. Yeah. That empowers them to see like, oh, I have, you know, like I have good thoughts and I, you know, I'm smart. I can do this. I can think about things.
Yeah.
And I think so much of that type of thought process is squashed in kids because of that typical line, because I said so as a parent. And I'm as guilty as the next one of saying that or thinking it.
Right. You know?
But it is a really good way to get your kid to stop thinking about why they're doing what they're doing.
And I think too that one of the reasons as a parent, it's so easy to just try to use anger as a means of getting our kids to do what we want them to do, is that when they don't, or when they challenge us, it can feel really like disrespectful.
Yeah.
And the feeling of being disrespected can like for sure cause that anger to surface.
Yeah.
But I think like with what you were just saying, I think it's worth considering like what, maybe like bring some definition for yourself. What does disrespect actually mean? What does that actually look like? Because for some parents, having a kid question a rule or an order or something like that, that may just inherently feel disrespectful.
Right. How dare you?
Yes.
How dare you question
me? I'm the parent.
Yeah.
You're the kid. You have no right to question, you know, for a lot of parents that, and if that's your mentality, then yeah, you probably are going to get angry more often because it's kids' nature to question things and to explore boundaries and to push limits. It's what they're wired to do.
Yep.
So if your assumption is that any kind of like challenge or question, pushback is automatically disrespectful, then yet you're probably angry a lot of the time. And so I wonder if maybe it'd be worth considering, is there room to kind of move the, move our definition of what disrespect actually is a little bit, and make room for our kids to ask questions and challenge and push the boundaries.
Yeah.
Because it's actually their job to do those things, because they're trying to figure out how does the world work. Yeah. They're trying to figure out how do relationships work. They want to know, are my parents serious when they say something? And they learn all of that stuff by challenging.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we've kind of learned to just believe that that's not inherently disrespectful. So our kids can challenge us and we can be challenged without automatically getting angry.
Yeah.
Again, sometimes we're grumpy or sometimes
you're tired or whatever.
Yep. Sometimes I'm, I'm hungry or I'm tired and I just don't want to take the time. I'm in the middle of something. I don't want to take the time to explain to you. Just do what I say.
There have been times that we're like, ask me later. Like, ask me again later. And do they? Most of the time, no, because they forget and we forget and we don't talk about it. But most of the time, those situations will arise again.
Yeah.
And so we'll have another opportunity to try again.
Yeah.
But as you were talking, I just kind of got a mentality or a mentality. I got a picture of just like what a family with like parents and kids can look like. Because I think a lot of times, like as you were talking about like the parents, just like if you view disrespect as or if you view questioning and wondering why as disrespect, that is kind of stepping into like an authoritarian parent strategy where it's like, I am in charge. You do whatever I say or else.
Yeah.
And that kind of reminds me of like a coach and player dynamic where like whatever coach says, you say yes, sir, and you go do it.
Yeah.
Or yes, ma'am, and you go do it. But I think more times than not, when a family is functioning healthily, mm-hmm. the family looks more like a team.
Sure.
Where, like, of course, the parents are more in like a coaching mm-hmm. role because we have more wisdom. We've lived more life. We have more advice. You know, we have yeah. the advice to give. But it's less of like a scary coach that mm-hmm. you don't really work together. You're just there to follow orders mm-hmm. and more of like a coach team relationship that like everybody works really well together. Mm-hmm. There's a dialogue. There's like, oh, hey coach, like what about this? There's recommendation, like the players are able to give recommendations for strategies on the mm-hmm. field and things like that. So I just had that vision or like that picture of like, instead of viewing yourself as like a scary coach, mm-hmm. be the coach that welcomes input from your team.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, be the parent that welcomes input from your kids. But I felt like that just kind of gave me a clear picture of what families can look like mm-hmm. on both sides.
Yeah. And I think in a couple episodes, we probably will talk about like the pendulum. The parenting pendulum, where on one side you have like authoritarian parenting and the other side you have permissive parenting. Mm-hmm. Neither work very well.
Right.
I understand the draw for both.
Yeah.
And like what we're talking about today with believing the lie that anger is power mm-hmm. and that I will have more power in my relationship over my kids or my spouse or whoever, the angrier I am, mm-hmm. then you're kind of slipping into that like authoritarian.
Yeah.
I'm the boss. Do what I say. If you don't do exactly what I say, I'm going to be really angry.
Yep.
My anger will be your fault because if you would just listen to me, mm-hmm. you know,
I wouldn't have to act like this.
I wouldn't have to get so angry.
Yeah.
And again, that's like, that feels powerful in the moment, but it's actually the most powerless way
yeah.
you can engage with people
right.
because you don't have the power because they have the power
yeah.
because they get to determine.
They're
controlling you.
Your behavior. Yeah. yeah.
So it's totally backwards to how it often feels in the moment. Mm-hmm. And so with what we talked about last week, the lie that it's our job to control our kids. And this week, talking about the lie that, well, if I want to control my kids, if my highest aim in parenting is compliance, mm-hmm. then I'll use anger because anger is power.
Yeah.
And the angrier and scarier I can be, the more power I'll have in the relationship. That will lead into next episode. We'll have one more episode with one more lie. And to give a sneak peek, the lie is that not just anger is power, but violence is power. Because these things kind of lead, they escalate.
Right. Yeah. You know,
they escalate. Mm-hmm. And that's where it heads to.
If
you don't keep, if you don't keep these things in check, mm-hmm. eventually the belief that anger is power will lead to the belief that violence is power.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that next week.
Super light topic next week.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, for those who are watching on YouTube, you may notice over Katie's left shoulder, we have our still fairly newly released children's book. It's been received well. Mm-hmm. We've had lots of really good feedback. So if you're new to the podcast, you haven't seen that or heard about that, you can head to the show notes and we have links to everything we do. We have our books, social media, website, email address, all of that stuff you can find there. And also, if you're on YouTube, go ahead, take 5 seconds, go ahead and like the video, go ahead and hit that bell, ring that thing, I've heard people say.
I don't care
for
that.
Subscribe. If you see that bell, that's what I've heard people say. So we're going to try to stay.
We're going
to
find something better.
Ring that thing. If you're not on YouTube and you're just listening on any audio platform, Apple, Spotify, if you could do us a huge favor, if you have found any value in our content, if you could leave us a good review, liking our videos, leaving reviews, those are very small things that help in a very big way. So if you could do that for us, we'd appreciate it.
Yes, please.
All right. That's going to be it.
Ooh.
Once again, my name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're making history. We'll see you next time.